we're just studying here together. And I know we say that a lot, but, you know, I know there's been a whole lot of y'all been studying this a whole lot longer than I have. So feel free to weigh in, and we can just learn together. But fifth chapter of Ephesians, so if y'all want to turn over there. Seventh verse, and we might have touched on this. Back on up to the sixth. We'll go ahead and read that again to get a little context. But it said, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." And that's referring to the ones that come with empty words, the ones that come and want to deceive you. And it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So that's referring to when it says that, it's the darkness is spiritually unenlightened. Before you were saved is how that I'm taking that, because he's referring to ye were sometimes. He's talking to the church here in the letter to the Ephesians. But it says, "But now ye are light in the Lord." So you've been, now that they've been enlightened, that they were maybe ignorance of the truth, and the light is the knowledge of the truth accompanied by the Spirit of God. And it says to walk as children of light. And that's how that we should be walking in our daily lives in character and morality. And then in the ninth, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." And the proving is to investigate or to demonstrate what is acceptable to the Lord. And when we've been saved and we have that inside of us, we've got that spiritual truth in there that the Lord placed in there, and we ought to know what is acceptable there unto the Lord, and we are to prove these things out. Because of constant temptations, believers must always be proving or discerning what is and what is not acceptable to God. And we know we don't have to do that out of any kind of temptation. We know what the Lord has told us to do, what he's asked us to do, and we know if by reading God's Word, and that's the reason for our study, that's the reason why we should be spending more time in this book, so that we do know what it is that he would have us to do. But he can give us and teach us by Spirit as well. He can tell us, just like what Brother Marty was talking about, being called to preach, and whatever your job may be, maybe you're supposed to teach. It may be like the ones that go downstairs and help out the children. There's a desire there that's placed in you, and then you're expected to do these things. Any thoughts? Anybody got any thoughts towards any of that this morning? And in the 11th, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." So kind of more or less saying that we are of the church. We're supposed to walk in the things that God would have us to do, but to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So there's emptiness, there's unfruitful, it's no benefit, and we're not to indulge in the sins of the world, or the ones that are unsaved, and we're not to give to those things, but rather reprove them, is what it says, and to reprove them, to expose them, to convince of a fault or to make it manifest. That's what I see this in context meaning. It says, but rather to reprove them. We've talked about that, seemed like a little bit over the last few weeks, is calling sin, sin. And when we're out in the world and we're around people of the world and we see these things that are brought to us, and somebody's trying to convince you with vain words that it's okay, especially in today's time, hot topic is LGBT this and homosexual that, and we don't have to be ugly about it. Our job is to convince them to come into the house of the Lord. That's where they need to be, is it not? But we're not to condone their actions. We're not to carry on and to act like that it's right. You call it sin, and that's exactly what it is. But it's nothing in the world wrong with inviting them to come into church. Now, we can't invite them to be members of a church knowing these things. We can't do that, but we can definitely invite them to come in and let the Lord do His part and let Him start straightening them up. And that's where the reproof will really happen. That's where it'll be made known to their spirit that what they're doing is not right in God's eyes. And that's His work to do. Any thoughts on any of that?
The Bible tells us that we're to try the spirits. And try to put the truth.
Man.
If He says it's wrong, it's just wrong.
Yeah.
It is. And if it's right, it's right. And, with anything, I mean, I'm just like you. We're to be like God. God hates the sin and loves the sinner. And we're to have our son the same
Amen.
Attributes. I hear people say all the time, it's never right to hate. You can say what you want, believe what you want. I hate Satan. I hate everything about him, and I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. I hate sin.
Amen.
Because it destroys people's lives. It destroys mine. You know? Mm. Every time I take a little part in it, it does something, and I hate it. And I wish I never took no part in it, but I did.
Yeah.
So we're to recognize these things.
Amen.
And we're not carnal minded.
Amen.
We are spiritual minded. And if so, we should live our life that way. We will be able to recognize things when we're not wrong, right?
Amen.
And if we can't do that, then we're not where we need to be.
Amen.
And so we do need to understand what the fruit of the Spirit is, and we need to understand the truth and understand what goodness is. We're living in a time now where good is called evil, and evil is called
Lord
good.
Help.
And that's because people can't recognize it. They want to call what we know is wrong and how we know it. We know it by the Word of God. But even if we didn't know the Word of God, we know by nature a lot of things are wrong.
Amen.
But yet everybody in the world wants to call it good, and they want to call you evil for calling it. Calling it out. So we have to recognize these things. But I do. I think we need to do everything we can to encourage people to come. I'm thankful for me, after I was saved and got into the world, that I had the opportunity of people love me, that welcomed me back in to God's house and let God begin to work on me and try to straighten my life up.
Amen.
And I believe anybody's life can be straightened up if I really can. I think Jesus changes things.
Amen. Sure does.
And I believe that in all my heart. So that's why we're always, we might not agree with the sin, but we're to love the sin.
Amen.
And try to help one another. Because, listen, before you know it, you're the one that probably need to help.
Yeah.
You're the one that ought to be somebody encouraging you to get back in the household of God. I know. I've been there.
Amen.
Just a...
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No,
probably didn't make a little sentence, but I just think we need to recognize good and recognize evil.
Yeah.
And call it for what it is.
Amen. Amen. Appreciate this. Anyone else?
Brother, I had a question. This is one of them that sometimes I tend to read it and I want to throw one word in there and it sort of changes the meaning for me. Starting in the 8th verse, it says, "You were sometimes darkness," not "you were in darkness." It also doesn't say that we're in the light. It says we are the light.
Mm.
And I'm bad to sometimes in darkness and in light. And in that context, you were darkness. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Is it possible that 10th verse is less of a question and more of a command?
Mm-hmm.
That being light, you're supposed to be proving what is acceptable. You're supposed to be the proof of it.
Makes sense to me with the 9th there being in.
Because then the next verses start you know, if you are the light, then that light itself is supposed to be reproving the darkness. It was just a question. Like I said, I've been bad in the past to read in there that you're in darkness, you're in light. It says that I was darkness.
Mm.
Now I'm supposed to be light. Of course, the ninth verse there is in parentheses, so we're kind of describing the
right.
verse before. Then we pick back up in the tenth. Just wondering if that's more of a command, possibly, that if you are the light through the Lord, you're supposed to be proving what's acceptable to Him.
Amen.
I don't. Josh doesn't do that very much, but I wondered if maybe in context.
The definition that I had for proving in that context was to demonstrate. So I think that's exactly where he's going with that. You just put it a whole lot plainer than I did.
But I guess it was the 12th verse that it talks about what's good we got to call good and what's evil we got to call evil. But it says some of these things are even a shame for us to speak of.
Amen.
So how do we reprove it except? If we're enough of a light, almost kind of reproves it on its own.
Amen.
The light is really the only thing that shows you what is in the darkness, isn't it?
Mm, absolutely.
I mean, if everything's just dark, you don't see
what's
in the dark. But then when the light comes on, you can see what's in the darkness. And speaking, that's what we're supposed to be. We don't have to run around here telling everybody they're sinning. That's the Lord's job, in speaking. But when we just walk in the light, that should show the darkness.
Amen.
I know that, and there's some of them sitting in this church house right now. There's a handful of folks I know of that there's other people that won't do and won't say things in their presence that they might in others, and that speaks volumes about, they know.
Mm.
They don't have to ask. They know where they are.
Amen. Good points, y'all. Good points. Anyone else? I think, like Sister Leanne said, the spirit and truth is what proves that out. And just like what Brother Jeff said, nature shows you right from wrong a lot of times. It's what allows even a three-year-old child to know without being told what's right or wrong. And you won't find that in all cases, but you'll find it in some. Even very small children, just how do they know that? Were they taught that? Did they? There's something ingrained in us at times to where you just know what's right and what's wrong. And again, nature shows these things. You know, you won't have discussions over what's male and female. I've said it before. Just spend a little time out behind a barn. I mean, just go out there and follow the goats and chickens and whatever else, horses. I mean, just, you don't have to be told these things. You know what the difference between a man and a woman is. It's just God has given us these things so that it's not some big culture shock when you have a conversation at the age of 20, 21-year-old in some college. That ain't, and I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with education. You need that. It helps us from being ignorant towards a lot of situations. But don't let someone try to, with vain words as it says, try to tell you those differences when you know in your heart that. So you just got to be, says, let no man deceive you with vain words. So trust in what the Lord has shown you through spirit and truth, and trust in your study that you've spent in spiritual contact with the Lord while you've studied out these things. And once you've got that secured, then you can be educated in a lot of other things and not necessarily indoctrinated towards other things that we know to be ungodly.
But that's just like, if you really think about it, in a sense speaking, when was the law given? It was given on Mount Sinai. Mm-hmm. Was the law not in effect already?
Amen.
Back when Cain killed Abel?
Amen. Amen.
I mean, was that not instilled into Cain that this is going to be wrong?
Amen.
Because it's instilled in our nature.
Amen.
And I think
good point.
In one of the books of Moses, it said that the law is written in our hearts.
In our hearts. Amen.
and especially those of us that are saved, there is a witness there.
Amen.
And I might want to do a little something that y'all don't have to know about, and I may want to try to justify it, but inside of me,
amen,
there is a witness that this is wrong. This amen. Is the fruit of darkness.
Yes.
This is not the fruit of light. Brother Carter up there at Bible study, and that you was there.
Amen.
But he taught a subject that just done an awesome job on it. And what he taught on was a total absence of alcohol. And what he was saying, and I 100% agree, the Bible, you cannot take in the Bible any word that it completely says total absence from alcohol. But then you take in general,
man,
the Bible on the whole, it bears out total absence because there's nothing good about it. But one of the points that he made that really stuck with me, he quoted out of the Old Testament where the Lord said, be ye holy, for I, the Lord God, am holy.
Man.
He said, sanctify yourself. That's our job.
Amen.
Amen.
We have a responsibility to sanctify ourselves in the flesh, to try to do better every single day. And in every decision that we make, and when we try to justify ourselves, we need to ask ourselves a question. Is this a step toward holiness?
Amen.
And that was the thing that really got my attention. And he told them, every time we want to justify ourselves, is this a step toward holiness? Yeah. Brother so-and-so may not know you're doing this, but God does.
Amen.
Is this a step toward holiness? Be ye holy. And so I think a lot of times when we want to justify these little things, and nobody else knows about it, God knows them all.
Amen.
And I think the law was written in our hearts.
Amen.
I think it was in effect. It was instilled of us, right and wrong, and certainly those of us that are saved, we have no excuse.
Amen.
No excuse.
Amen. God bless. Boy, good point. Good point about the commandments, sir. That's a good point.
See Abraham, right?
Yeah. Amen. 5:12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, just like what you brother been talking about. But all things, and that meaning, yeah, just to even discuss it is just shameful. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Just exactly what Brother Barry was talking about there a minute ago. So in the 13th, whatever sin is made visible becomes light. So that sin that's been made, if we're doing our job right, then it will be made evident. It will be shown that's clearly sin there. 5:14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So he's talking to who there? These that are sleepest or from the dead. So he's saying there that exposing sin. Well, I'll tell you the thought I kept having whenever I read that is that that song that Brother Josh sung, that rise and shine, just rise and shine. These that are dead, these that are in sin, that doesn't recognize this. Paul is telling them these of the world. And he's telling them to awake and see these things and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. But exposing sin is beneficial. God invites the unbeliever to turn from sin, and we are given enough faith and a promise that he will save your soul if you were to repent and believe on the Lord with all your heart. We know that's how that's done. Sinners recognize the sin, turns from the sin, and Jesus promises to spiritual enlighten them and help need and turn from sin, part of our sanctification. We start recognizing to hate sin, just like what the brother put. Whenever I was first saved, I didn't have that, but the more you're closer to God, you really just hate that sin. You hate how it turns your mind and it turns your thoughts and it turns your your actions towards something that is ungodly, just like what Brother Barry was saying. That measuring stick of, well, hey, I'm just as good as this and here that I work next to, that's the wrong measuring stick.
Man.
Run it on up past the ceiling. We've got a big brother that we stand way, way shallow for. And if we're going to get anywhere near him, we're going to have to recognize these things that the church is doing, not only the ones that hadn't been saved, but the ones in the church, and recognize it, clean ourselves up best that we can, and make ourselves presentable and holy to an almighty God.
Amen.
That saved us, sealed us, it said, till the day of redemption. That's what we owe him. How in the world could we ever measure up? But our job is to try to present ourselves, not to be so sorry every once in a while. Any thoughts? The 15th. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So the circumspectly, so watch carefully how you live. In short, again, this is our, after you've been saved, it's your outward showing there to the rest of the world to say, hey, that's not just an act. That ain't somebody just putting on. They're really wanting to live for the Lord, ain't they? And we start recognizing these things. And it says, not as fools. And the definition of fool here is one who is destitute of reason or the common powers of understanding, an idiot. Some are fools and are called natural. Some are born fools and are called natural fools, and other may come fools by some injury done to the brain. And I say that jokingly, but we know that word gets thrown around a lot. But that's the definition that we've seen there. So we shouldn't be walking around as someone described there as a fool, but as wise. And then in the 16th, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And this redeeming the time or making the most of every opportunity. And in this context, Paul is saying the specific opportunity is exposing the sins that he was talking about before. That's what, to put this in context, he's saying these sinful things that we shouldn't even utter, these sinful things of the world, these sins that may be happening there in the church. He said that redeeming the time there. So putting this in that context is exposing the sins of these, and we're to be a witness to that as to not doing it. The opposition, is what Brother Josh was saying there a minute ago. We don't have to be the example of the sin. We should be the example of how we're not committing that sin that you once would have been a partaker of. Any thoughts on any of that? And it says, because the days are evil. This is the reason to take advantage of each opportunity. So as we're given these opportunities in our daily lives, as we're out in the world but not being of the world, and we're getting that opportunity to be that light, we are to redeem these times. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Any thought on any of that? So the will of the Lord and what it is, and it's kind of like when you get to thinking of those talents back in Matthew 25:14 through 30. You're given these talents. Well, in this context, time is our talent. Time is what's been given to you. Time is what we're not taking the opportunity to use right now. If we are saved and members of the Lord's church, if we're merely coming in here and lip service to the Lord, and then we go out Monday through Saturday and act as we're no different. Or even if you do great two days out of the week and you're still blowing the other five, it's still time that you've wasted in that parable of those talents. I mean, we've seen one of the three that did pretty good with it, right? We've seen one that did really bad and just completely wasted it and didn't do anything with it. Well, if you put that time in context of that talent, you think, how much am I guilty of that? We've been given this time, which money cannot buy, right? So what is that time worth? And then how guilty do you feel when the time has been redeemed and you're shown that, well, I haven't done or said anything in the Lord's cause for His edifying, as we, and I don't know about y'all, but it seems to be hitting me pretty hard today. That time is precious. And you can't get it back. So, if you find yourself in the same boat I'm in this morning, we can't go back and fix that for the last so many years. So, guess what? We get to start putting in overtime for the time that we're given. You didn't get your production met. You didn't get done the things you were supposed to have done for the past 15, 20 years. So now, how are you going to make that up? And we owe it to Him to make it up. We can't just fall short and put it off till next week. Well, now you put in time and half. Put in a little double time. Any thoughts?
Whatever time you got, use it.
Amen.
Whenever you go to work, convenient. If it's in the last hour of the day, work at last hour.
Amen.
Work. Some of us are late bloomers. I've said that over and over.
Amen.
Some of us are saved relatively young, but it took me a long time, it seemed like, to get to where I wanted to do the work that He gave me to do. Just give it to
Him. Amen.
And I'm still failing at that, but I am trying now.
Amen. And God bless.
You just now start trying and try your best. Amen. Do the best you can. And there really ain't nothing else out to turn back to. Give the time you got. And do the best you can.
Amen. Anyone? Any other thoughts?
I wonder how much time I caused everybody else to waste. I saved on those 10. There wasn't nobody to know it for a long, long time. I'm ashamed of it. Can't get it back. Still might run into somebody every now and then, you know, and just brings it all back to your mind. I preached before at a place, and a guy was there. He was at the same place I was years ago, and it just bothered me. I thought, man, what's he going to think?
Yeah.
He might have been thinking the same thing about me. But, I don't feel like I've got enough time to put in over time to make up for all of it. Rubs off on everybody else. I mean, people you lead down the wrong road, you know.
Lord help.
You justify just about near to anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, I mean, you just sear your conscience over with a hot iron. You get to the point that don't nothing bother you. Do
right. Yeah.
You want to do. I know that there's an end of the road because He brings it to a screeching halt because we belong to Him. I know He beat the daylights out of me. It just bothers me how many people that didn't help. Put them right down the wrong path, and I wonder if they ever recovered or not, if they ever got straightened out. You know
what? Yeah. Like you said, not only we got our own time to worry about, but have we caused a stumbling block for others, and they've wasted their time. So now is that time contributed to me? Lord help. Anyone else? So in the 18th, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You're like, golly, where'd that come from? That hit y'all that away? It's like, well, we weren't talking anything about that. And now we brought this into it. But be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So I believe God's given us an example here through Paul's writings, and tell people not to be drunk on wine or beer, whiskey, whatever else, because this is excess. Drunkenness leads to morality issues, doesn't it? It leads to self-control issues. The inability to do what God wants and desires from you. So if you're looking for what the will of the Lord would be there in the 17th, we know that drunkenness is not going to get us there. We know that without a doubt. It's going to steer you away from God's will, is it not? So Christians should be filled with the Spirit of God, His character, His virtues, and His desires. That's what it says, said to be filled with the Spirit. So it leads me to believe, with that being there, that Paul is stating that people are looking, just as in today's time, people are looking for something to maybe take the edge off, aren't they? To take away some of that anxiety, to just take away a little something there, maybe take my mind off things a little while. But what Paul is saying here, be filled with the Spirit. And then he's giving you maybe here some remedies for that. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So I know he points out drunkenness there in the 18th and things of that nature, but whatever it is that's taking you away from the Lord's will, you can insert that there just as well. And then as these become distractions, as they're taking the church away from being what it should be, the light of the world, and if we are the body of Christ, then if we do that individually, we're taken away from that as well. This verse reminds me of what Brother Marty said, I think you said about your grandpa. Just sing a good old song when the devil starts beating on you. Whatever that is that's taking you away from the Lord, then speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart in the Lord. But we can sing a good old song that spiritually connects us back to the Lord, and it does help. It absolutely does. Lifting up your voice there, and just we may just save the rest of it for next week, but we may be at a good place to stop for the day. Really appreciate everyone's input. Good study there, and consider yourself dismissed this morning.